Thanks for tuning into the Let's Get Ready Network, the place for coverage of all the things you love. On this feed, we cover movies, TV, video games, and more. If you're interested in supporting the network, you can do so on our Patreon at patreon.com/LGR_network. And please leave a rating and a review of this episode. Enjoy the show, everyone.
How's everybody doing? We just got through watching episodes 7 and 8. Sorry it took us a little bit longer. But the beginning of the year was tough for some people, and some people didn't feel good and everything else. So we took our time and watched it. And we all was feeling better and all that good stuff. So, yes, we just got through watching 7 and 8, the final two episodes of the first season of Rings of Power. We're going to start with the two biggest Lord of the Rings fans that's in here. And we'll start with Adelia first. What did you think about these two episodes, and then you can go ahead and tell us what you thought about the series as a whole.
I really enjoyed these two episodes. I get the big, like, action set piece, if you will, of the series was the forming of Mount Doom at the end of episode 6. So I was curious how these two episodes would play out. And I really enjoyed them. They were very story-focused, very character-focused. We didn't have any big battles or anything like that going on. But the scene, and I've been calling this for weeks now, and us watching this, that Halbrand was Sauron. And the scene that reveals that Halbrand is Sauron, I thought was really, really well done. The way that he was in Galadriel's head and basically sending her through memories, but they weren't the memories. They were, like, she was talking to her brother, like, it is now, but it's the setting that's the memory. I thought it was really cool. Really enjoyed all the stuff with the stranger and with the Harfoots. That's so Gandalf. They're totally screwing up the timeline by introducing Gandalf this early, but that's so Gandalf. And I liked all the stuff with Durin and Elrond too, and the forging of the rings by the end. It just fabulous. I really enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed this entire season. Like, I'm a Tolkien nerd. Like, you put Tolkien stuff in front of me, I'm going to enjoy it. I don't know why I just didn't watch the rest of the series for so long, because I'd watched the first two episodes before. But I'm really glad that I got to experience it with all of you guys. And, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Gotcha, man. We're going to go to the second biggest, or maybe equal, Tolkien fan here. French, man, I know you had already watched it. You just came in and joined us to, like, rewatch it with us, probably to get our reactions and thoughts.
I was pulling on the string trying to drag y'all to watching this, because I knew there was going to be another one eventually, and it's coming this year apparently. But yeah, I wanted everybody to see it because I am a Tolkien fan, and yeah, while this isn't perfect, it is pretty good.
Yeah.
And the way they're structured is, it feels like after I watched it the first time, I went, huh? And I watched it again, and I saw the breadcrumbs that you did again, like, especially the reveal at the end, the Sauron reveal. They're dropping breadcrumbs and occasionally throwing a red herring out there to throw you off the beat. But then it comes through, and it's like, whoa, this is very Tolkien, because yeah, Tolkien took his time getting to the point in a plot. And they tapped into this, and they did it well. And then visually, you know, the characters, the swords, the scenery, the landscape, everything is just gorgeous. And who needs Peter Jackson? You know, some of the effects, when they blew up the mountain in episode 6. And now, yeah, the timeline is screwed. But it's one of those, it's kind of like, you know, how exact can we be on when Julius Caesar did what Julius Caesar did? You know, we're kind of close, right? You know, and then I figure that works well enough for this.
Okay, so, well, as someone like me, like, I enjoyed the three films. I've read the books, even The Hobbit, of the them books. I haven't really looked into it past that. I enjoyed it. Wasn't my favorite you know, IP. So when you're talking about, like, if this is Gandalf, right? Because 100%, we don't know 100%. They told us Sauron was Sauron. This guy is something they called the Estar or whatever. But so for one, I'd ask two questions. Could this be a guy that kind of sets up Gandalf that's not truly actually Gandalf? Maybe he's there to do the thing, but then, like, Gandalf comes a little later, the actual true Gandalf. Like, maybe Sauron kills this cat, right? And, like, then Gandalf has to come to do his thing. So that I don't know if that's a possibility. But the second part would be, like, so you say the timeline. So when would Gandalf actually have been here if it was done at the right time?
Later than this.
Yeah, in the written canon, Gandalf is sent to Middle-earth at the beginning-ish of the Third Age, which is after Sauron gets beat by all the characters we're watching right now.
Yeah, so basically after the prologue of the movies.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the prologue of the movies when Sauron loses the ring. After that is when Gandalf shows up to be ready when Sauron comes back. And now we're kind of like seeing Gandalf being around and not knowing he's really himself before Sauron kind of gets whacked at the end.
Okay, so like, but what I would say is maybe because they didn't technically announce him, like with Sauron, they didn't, like, you know, they actually just came out and told you that's who it is, right? So we all know who it is.
There were five Istar in Middle-earth. We know of Gandalf, Saruman, and Radagast, but there were two other wizards that they were the Blues Wizards, and even Gandalf doesn't remember their names. That's the only reference we get to them in The Hobbit.
So I suppose it is possible. Yeah.
At least one of those cats was in Rune, which is where this guy is going to be heading in season two.
Right. So, but like what I'm saying though is like, could he be one of the other ones and he helps these group like fight Sauron, like in that prologue series? And then like maybe he has to make a sacrifice to do whatever. And then we get Gandalf after that, knowing that like Sauron wasn't truly defeated and like he was just kind of like hurt real bad and had to go away. And then like Gandalf's there for his comeback.
Could that be a possibility? That's definitely a possibility. This could be another wizard that will then show Gandalf the way to be Gandalf. But I'm more thinking this is like a phase of Gandalf. Kind of like how Gandalf the Grey became Gandalf the White after something big happened. This is Gandalf the Homeless. And he's going to have, something's going to happen, and then he's going to become Gandalf the Grey that we know in the later, you know, canon.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to like talk about that a little bit and see like.
Or it could be like, This stranger is the blue wizard who teaches Gandalf everything he needs to know.
Right. But I'll just go ahead and, you know, I go ahead and say what I thought about the show and stuff, because like I was just asking those questions just in wonderment, because like I said, I didn't get super sweaty nerdy over you know, the Tolkien stuff. And, like I said, I enjoyed it. I watched the original movies and like those. I actually never even watched all three of the Hobbit movies. I think I watched like the first one. And then
that's
didn't like
okay.
it a
you
huge
don't
amount.
Need to.
Yeah, right. And then like,
yeah,
watch this series. And then I, like I said, I did read the three books completely all the way through, and I read The Hobbit. That's right, man. I can read, but like, so and I enjoyed the books and stuff. That's why I like read all three of them, and like read The Hobbit as well. Like afterwards, like I actually read The Hobbit, I think after I read the original three, because I was like, well, damn, these books are good. So I'm gonna check out this other book. But with that being said, I'm not as sweaty and nerdy, so I don't know like the timeline or when things happen or whatever. So maybe that helps me in a way. I think that one of the biggest problems that I see out there now with like, say, IPs, you know, these big properties and everything else, is that the people like you hold so dear the original stuff that, and you love it, and I get it, and I understand that, right? But like, I think that hurts you in a way, like when things new come out that could be still cool, but like you almost don't want to see them as being cool, because like if it's not what you deem as perfect, then you just want to crap all over it and everything else.
And that's a fine line that Rings of Power has apparently tread well, because they're getting a second season. You know, Cowboy Bebop couldn't. Well,
the critics, like the official critics and stuff, like rated pretty high.
Satisfying the hardcore, the diehard, hardcore, original content people, and also doing a show that appeals to the not those people, is a fine line you've got to tread. And not everybody pulls it off and gets exceeded by a second season.
Right. And well,
for the success. And it's a tough thing to do.
It's just hard to go in and look at something like this, especially if you're a huge fan of like the old stuff that you liked before, because of the fact that you're going to have these different things, right? You're going to not come in a lot of ways like open-minded. Like I said, one thing happens that you don't like. Let's say like some people would have a legit complaint if they do believe, and that does turn out to be Gandalf, for instance, because of the timeline being messed up. But that one thing happens and they don't like it, and then they just start trying to shoot holes and everything else to kind of justify their feelings of them not liking this certain part. But as someone that wasn't like super nerdy about the franchise, like I have to say, there's a couple things. I thought cinematography, like everything they did there, like the way they filmed it, the way everything looked and stuff like that, to me was like super beautiful. Like I caught myself sometimes like looking in the background and everything, like not even caring about some of the stuff. Now I will say that could be a weak point, because I do think they lingered a little bit too long here and there on some things. Like you made some good points, like while we were watching it right just then, like I think you made a couple of good points, like with like, I call it face acting, but you were talking about the eye, you were saying eye acting. But like to me, the face acting involves like your eyes and everything else. And there's some cool moments.
There's a lot of moments that there's no dialogue. But the eyes are working.
That I can see as kind of a weak point to a certain, like, because those kind of moments need to be a little bit more spaced out, I feel, because like in these last two episodes, especially, I didn't notice it as much the first like a few. These last two episodes, like I really saw it a lot where there was a lot of those like moments. It was like, oh, let's cut into the face of the dwarf, let's the elf, you know, Gladriel, like all this different moments and everything a lot during these last two episodes. What was just happening all the time, and that gets kind of redundant. So that thing was one thing that I saw.
There's a lot of conversations happen through eye contact.
Right. And I just think it's like too much all at once, right? You know what I'm saying? Like maybe once an episode, but these last two episodes, they did it like multiple times episode.
And towards the end here, you had a various collection of characters that all had to have their eye contact moment.
Right.
Back and to everybody back don't to have back to have that. Because there's so many characters we got to resolve here.
Right. And not everybody has to have that. But anyway, my point being is like all that stuff was really good. That was maybe the weakest point that I saw like with the show is like, but that's like me kind of nitpicking, right? That's not like a huge thing. Everything, like I said, looked beautiful and all that good stuff. The acting I thought was actually done well. Now, some people complain about the main character, and I don't, because me as a nerd, as far as fantasy goes, and even in Tolkien's fantasy world, the elves are kind of assholes, okay? They're immortal. Yeah. Like, they think of everything
they're not human, they don't think the way we do.
Right. They're immortal. Like, they think that we're lesser than them. Humans die super quick. We barely have a blink of an eye of a time compared to them. Dwarves even don't live as long as them, even though they live a lot longer. So, like, in the fantasy world, dwarves are going to be kind of assholish. Now, I do see where some people that may not have been like the biggest Lord of the Ring fans or whatever watch this show, and I said this multiple times in the further reviews, is that Galadriel, the character, really isn't a character that you find yourself fist pumping for. Now, I can see if you're big into the lore and you love Lord of the Rings, it's like one of your favorite things, like you know what Galadriel becomes later on, you know what I'm saying? Like, or maybe, and like you're kind of fist pumping because you know what she does truly become. But if you're not super nerdy about all that, because like, to be honest with you, in the original films, you don't see her very like often. I think it's like, what, once or twice? Like she comes out, I know, like with the big glowing light, you know what I'm saying?
She's a minor but important character.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point though, right? So like,
you know, she's only got a few lines and a handful of scenes.
Other people that don't read all the material and do all that, that just watch the three original movies and loved them, don't know that much about this character. So when you watch
the same way.
But when you watch this series, you don't know all that background. You see your main character. You really kind of want to root for him. She really didn't put that across. But I, as a fantasy nerd, understands that's how elves are going to be. So I don't understand what the complaint. I don't get the complaints that comes towards the actress or that character, because I do see a lot of people saying stuff about that, and I do not agree with them, because like, it's fantasy. That's how it's supposed to be. Even in Dungeons and Dragons, it's not technically Tolkien. Even in Dungeons and Dragons, the elves would act that way. They're going to be very stoic. Yeah. They're going to think they're better than everybody. And so that does make it tough for showrunners to have a character that they're trying to be true with, right? They're trying to be like, well, she's an elf. That's how elves act, all this stuff. And like, have that be your main character. Could they have picked like another character in the series to follow more, and then have her not just like a side character, but like maybe like a co-lead, but basically have the show where it's their character you're following, maybe somebody you could root for a little more. Maybe they could have made that decision. I don't know, but I don't agree with all the negativity. I think she did a very good job.
You steer me towards a great thought, is that for both characters, Galadriel and Sauron, in the canon, in Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, these are characters. Galadriel you see once or twice, and she has a couple of moments where she says some important things. But otherwise, it's just you hear about how awesome she is. And likewise, Sauron, you never see Sauron. You just hear about how fucking terrifying Sauron is and how scary he is supposed to be. And you just hope that you don't have to deal with him. Whereas now we're seeing both of these characters and why everybody is so afraid of them and or impressed by them in what we're used to. But right. they're out of their elements for the characters we know are not quite there yet. They have a long way to go. And Elrond is the same way. The Elrond we're watching now is a long way from that dude that Hugo Weaving played in the movies.
Yeah.
Who's got the world by the ass and is just waiting for his time to get on a boat and go home.
I mean, overall, you know, like if we put it on the ham bone meter, you know what I'm saying? Like 1 out of 10 kind of situation. I give the show at least a solid 7, maybe a 7.5, because it looked beautiful. I thought that they did pretty good. Like the whole finding out about Mount Doom over there in Mordor or whatever, like that was like really super cool. Like you're not going to see that kind of stuff like in a show normally, but that how the world changes. Shows are getting more and more like just having some big moments and stuff that you normally would only see in the cinema. Now it comes on like these streaming shows and stuff like that, which is pretty cool because we get to see those things without having to go to the movie theater all the time and that kind of thing. So like, I would give it like a 7 or 7.5. I was just, to me, like I'm really looking into it because we are watching it after a lot of people watched it and a lot of people rated it and stuff like that and kind of graded it out and it had discourse about it in some ways. I don't necessarily agree with all that discourse. Like I said, I get the character. I understand why the elf acts like it does. Like I said, as a showrunner, maybe you could have made the decision of having Galadriel being a huge part of the show, but like maybe following a different character, like with their point of view and like them being there with all the same scenes, you know what I'm saying? Them being there and Galadriel's still doing her things. You get to see still her be the elf that she is and everything else. Maybe that could have helped. Like I said, sometimes it's tough for people to like get behind a show and they don't feel like they're really rooting for somebody. I'm not like that. I like dark stuff. So like, I'm all like, all right, cool. Now, the one thing I will ask is, do you think that it may hurt her character? Because there at the end, the way that Sauron and the guy that portrayed Sauron in the show, I think that guy was truly genuine. Like, Sauron
totally believes what he's saying. I
thought that what he was saying was like true, that he knows that he's not this, like that stuff happened to him, right? Like, I guess because he had a guy that was above him at one time, and then that guy's took out, and then Sauron kind of supposed to step up and
be Sauron like, totally thinks he's a good guy, he's right. not, but he totally thinks he is,
right? Right, but that's my point though. At this moment, if she chooses to stand by his side and he knows, like, right, like, well, no, because I have to kind of push back a little bit on that, French, because the way he said it was, and he told it straight to her, that's why I think I believe him, is he knows without her he goes dark. Like, he pretty much said that to her face. Like, he needed her because, like, he needed her to be the light. Like, he literally tells her that, right? Like, you got stand beside me.
I think you're the light.
Like, you're the reason why I'm not going to go. Yeah, but I think he's saying, you know, you're the reason why I'm not going to turn Darth Vader. Don't look at the man behind the
curtain kind of thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying that he, like, knows he needs her, like, in her power and everything else, whatever he thinks that she's got, to not become Vader, right? But, like, he knows without her, he's going to do that.
I totally think that he was trying to convince her to help him be evil.
Okay, yeah. that's not what I got. I got it a little bit different.
You want to be powerful? Let's be powerful together. Again, just like the same way Anakin was trying to talk Padme into, you know, believing that what he was up to was good. Same idea.
I mean, y'all may be right. He may be like, you know, whispering sweet nothings. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. To like do whatever to even gain more power, and maybe it was.
Sauron likes to play the victim and say that it's.
But I'll say this: that actor, he's not. I don't know that actor's name, but whoever played Sauron thought that dude did a really good job. Yeah,
yeah,
that guy did a really good job, and in that moment, like, he was so convincing with what he was saying and how he was saying it that I truly thought that if she makes that other decision, if she makes that hard choice of being like, you know what, like, maybe some bad stuff's going to happen, but because she did, like, he was right too when he was telling her, like, she didn't care about his past at a certain point, right? But just because his name's Sauron, now all of a sudden that changes things. But, like, if she could have went past that and been with him, like, the way that actor portrayed that and stuff, it was almost like, man, if she makes that decision, maybe everything's different. Maybe we don't, and you know.
When they're having the Sauron fantasy
trying to take over everything.
When they're having the fantasy flashback to the boat, Sauron, Charlie Vickers Halbrand, is throwing her, he's offering her the same lines when she's talking to Frodo in the movie, which is straight out of canon from the books, about how what she will be if Frodo gives her the ring, and you know, more beautiful than everything is stronger than the foundations of the earth. Sauron is making that offer, and again, it's one of those, they did a great job of connecting it to the canon, because all these hundreds of thousands of years later, this is still on Galadriel's mind. You know, what an asshole fucking Sauron is trying to fuck with her head. It's abusive son of a bitch.
Because, but without having the baggage,
he's playing the victim and pretending like he's weak, but he's trying to con these people into giving him what he needs.
Without having the baggage of, like, loving this property as, like, my first love kind of thing, I think the show is fine. And to be honest with you, one of the better things I've seen for, like, television, you know, I think it's behind stuff like House of the Dragon and even The Last of Us 2. Like, I don't think it measures up to those two shows for me. But, like, I think it is up there. Like I said, I graded it pretty high. Like, because, like, 5 is right there in the middle. I don't like it or hate it. And then 7, 7.5 means I'm on the good side, right? I'm not saying it's great or awesome. Like, I would give, like, 8, 8.5 to a 9 to, like, Last of Us 2 and, like, a 9.5 to House and the Dragon. Shit, almost close to a 10 on that show. So this show's behind those two, but not very far behind it, you know? So, like, I enjoyed it. But then I start thinking about, like, man, you know what? Like, what if you watch the, and maybe people would still hate it, but what if you watch the original trilogy or the sequel trilogy without knowing the original trilogy, right? It's the same thing with this, right? Like, what if you didn't have any of the baggage of being a fan of a certain thing, and then you watch this show, does it get hated on as much? And I don't think it would be, because I honestly went into this show with an open mind. And I'm sorry, man. I keep talking about some of the stuff because, like, it's just fascinating to me now, like, trying to think about these things. Like, why does these people think the way they think? Like, well, why do I think some things? It's like, I see these things and I'm like, bro, they are killing this. And then I see it and it's like, bro, it's not that bad. Like, I can understand if you say, oh, I don't enjoy it or it's not my favorite, but to, like, almost dedicate yourself to hate on something like this. And I'm like, bro, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's not that bad. It's not bad at all, actually. Like I said, there's a couple of light things you can point out, but you can almost do that with almost everything you watch. And so, but yeah, it's definitely not as bad as what people will try to make it out to be. And I'm just trying to like figure that. Why is people doing some of that stuff?
Honestly, you know, Hambone, if you're giving it like a 7, 7.5 for a cat, as you've said, you know, repeatedly, you're a casual fan. You're not a Lord of the Rings nerd. If you're giving it 7, 7.5, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the Tolkien nerds like it just better enough. Or less, but that's good.
Like, I know just enough, right? Like, of some of the background. Like, I know just enough about Sauron from watching the movies and reading the books, stuff like that, right? Like, but I didn't ever get into any other material or any of that stuff. But shoot, I've talked enough time. I just, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to figure. Dwarves,
elves, rings, we're good.
I'm trying to just figure some of this stuff out, man. It's like playing into my mind. And I like discussing or trying to discuss it with other people and like trying to just be open-minded about things and not trying to make decisions. I do think that, unfortunately, in this world, we're going down the everybody's a sheep mentality. Like, you have one person that pretends like they're a leader and they come out and say something and a bunch of people just follow them and they really don't even know why they're even saying it half the time and that kind of stuff. And I don't want to be that, right? I don't want to hear somebody say, well, this show sucked. And then me, when I go watch it, automatically try to look at why this is the reasons why it's going to suck. No, I'm going to watch and try to find the reasons why I think it may be good. And like I said, there's not enough in here for me to just like hate or dislike even this show. I thought it was pretty good. Not like I said, it doesn't beat House of the Dragon. It doesn't beat Last of Us 2, but it's still a really good show. But Brandy, go ahead.
And Brandy, here you go. I was wondering if we were ever going to have Brandy talk.
I felt it shifting, but I didn't hear the clutch.
You know, this is me. Like, me and Justin, with this relationship that we have, he's the talker, I'm more of the quiet one, so you see it right there.
I wasn't helping, Brandy.
It's totally okay. I like the show. My, I forgot my train of thought because Justin went on for 20 minutes. But
I help with 10 of that.
Yeah, no, it's
hey,
okay.
Man, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to talk.
Listen, I just said that I'm the quiet one. You're the one that talks. So, like, you said you're not the what is the term, nerdy and sweaty.
I mean, come on, man.
You kind of are. Both nerdy and sweaty. I know you're sweaty.
But look, I'm part of a YouTube channel and like a podcast channel that all mixed together. I think my job is to talk. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Brandy. So I liked the show. I really like the stuff with Nori and the Stranger and Poppy and all those. Yeah. And I really wanted Poppy to go with Nori and the Stranger. Like, I really wanted her to go. So I was like, no, she needs to go. Like, tackle her. Be like, I'm coming with you. I really wanted that so badly. I liked the part when they were fighting and then the Stranger was like, I'm good. And it's like, threw all them away. I'm like,
that was like, cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. I love that stuff. That was, I think I'm more into that stuff. That, I mean, I liked all of it, but what really brings it is I like that lightheartedness with the Nori and all them. I like their energy. Like, I think it's fun. That's so, as like, all I'm not really big into Lord of the Rings. I have not seen all of Lord of the Rings, so I don't know me and Adelia did start watching this. We watched together the first two episodes, and then we just, time got away from us, and we never went back, and I don't know why. But this was fun, and I did enjoy it, and when you all got excited, I knew it was that guy. I'm like, I had no idea.
They've got this smorgasbord of cool of things for people to enjoy. Because mm-hmm. there's Nori and the Stranger.
Mm-hmm.
There's the high drama of Sauron and Galadriel mm-hmm. and all that mm-hmm. big lore stuff that Adelia and I are enjoying.
And there's I like the other one.
Armor and horses and stuff over on this end.
Yeah, I like the lady that you forgot her name, Adelia, that and her husband.
The dwarves, Nisa mm-hmm. and Durin. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I like them. I like the female too. I like her.
Bronwyn and Arendir and Theo. And oh, mm-hmm. by the way,
you like Theo.
If it's not season two, some point in the future seasons, Theo is gonna get a ring. Theo's getting one of those 9 rings. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
There's a lot of rings.
When will it become 9 rings? Because right now it's only 3.
There's three for the elves. Seven for the dwarves. Right now in the show, they're only specifically saying, wait.
Did you not listen to the song at the end? Because it was saying it in the song at the end.
Exactly what she said. That's an old school tune. Yeah, that's a classic.
That's why I was like really quiet, because I was listening to the song and it was saying how many rings were in the song.
Right, it eventually becomes that, but right now, Galadriel, the character.
It's the three rings for the elves.
Makes three. She's not making the other six. She just said makes the three.
I'm just asking when
maybe they make the other six.
When they were doing that, Galadriel makes this big point with the gang. This needs to be power for the elves alone.
Yeah.
And my brain, for the first time ever, went, wait a minute, what if you had one ring for the elves, one ring for the dwarves, and one ring for men? Would that have worked maybe a little better?
Possibly.
Maybe.
But like, don't go to where...
But Galadriel is an elf, and elves do not like to share.
But doesn't it go like, doesn't eventually it become where there's three elves with rings, there's three dwarves, and then three men? So it still becomes equal, right?
It's three, seven, and nine. There's seven for the dwarves and nine for men. The nine ring kings who end up with the rings for men end up turning into the Nazgul, which is those the Black Riders, and they ride those weird guys. Yeah. They're basically undead at that point.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, they got a cool, you know, like a Ovaltine ring from Sauron, and now they have to obey him in death.
Yeah.
So anyway, I liked when she was at the end when he was trying to trick her and bringing her all back to different places in her, and she's like, "Get out of my mind." Mm-hmm. Thought that was really cool. I like the facial expressions that they give, and I think it tells an emotion and stuff. So I really enjoy that, because it's hard to facial act. And by the way, and I really enjoyed her. And then he's like, "You touched the darkness," and she's like, she's not going with what he's saying. And I thought that was cool, like all that stuff that was going with all of them.
I don't mind the facial stuff. I just think they like did it too much at like one part of the story. It's important sometimes. About the fourth time it happened, I was like, man, there is like everything coming out, like it's like the, but it's almost like I could, you know, remember that sound that used to happen like when something really emotional went boom boom boom? It was like I started thinking about that. I'm like, oh god, it's like every time the camera,
if people go back and see, they'll see a lot of my facial expressions, because that's what I was giving a lot of. So
it was like boom boom boom.
I couldn't get a word in, so I did facial acting here. I'm done talking now. You all can go, because every time I try to talk.
No. Well, you say something that people comment on. Like, you brought up the rings, and we were talking about the rings. Yeah, you're like,
I didn't bring the rings up.
Well, the rings got brought up somehow.
It's not me. I was talking with what I liked.
We know are going to happen is that we know at least four of those dwarven rings get eaten by dragons, which means there's going to be dragons in the future seasons, y'all.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. Yeah, but again, there's a lot to look forward to in this. That's the great part of it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see, because the way things were left, I can't wait to see more, to see what's going to happen in the next season. It is the next season, right?
Mordor's just getting started. Numenor hasn't even been annihilated. And
so there's still a lot of dragons out there. I'm going to say before, I don't really know anything about, like, I've heard from Adelia with some of the stuff that she's been saying, but I maybe watched the first Lord of the Rings. I probably seen bits and pieces of the others, but I've never sat really through all of them, so I don't know everything. I've not read the books, so this was me coming in with different, like, fresh view. Like I don't know.
Delia watches them every other day. You can just join her one time.
One of the things about the Tolkien stuff, though, is that like the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, both of them did a big job of, while they were telling their story, they did a lot of building it on referencing some earlier story that was much more interesting, the way Tolkien built it up. And this, in a small way, is kind of paying off some of that. It's like, yeah, all those stories in the day, we can show you what that looked like because we have a rough idea how it went. And hopefully that's what they're going to do with this, is that, yeah, Sauron is going to build Mordor and make it the awesome shit we remember from the movies.
So and I don't remember Galadriel any of it, so it's not going to be anything I remember.
Yeah, and all that stuff.
It'll be brand new.
It's like Star Wars prequels. Like, you have a rough idea who Darth Vader is, right? So yeah,
I met James Earl Jones. Skywalker. What are you talking about? Of course I do.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you see Anakin Skywalker in the movie, you go, oh, I know that guy. Same kind of idea. But in the moment, Anakin Skywalker is waving a lightsaber around and cutting droids into pieces. You know?
And Sam for his family.
Yeah, well, that's the next movie. Well, what I've been reading, season two is going to be villain focused. And apparently they've got a couple different actors that are going to be playing Sauron in different flashbacks from, like, even before what we're watching now. Cool. So that could be interesting. Like, again, back when Sauron was still kind of a good guy before he decided to be a dick.
I think, like studios sometimes make interesting choices because, like, I think people can enjoy this. Maybe they were trying to get it close enough to where some of these main characters can truly be involved in everything and that, I guess. But it's like, you have, like, the guy. Like, it's just weird because, like, you're starting this brand new thing that's supposed to be before, like, the movies and stuff people enjoyed. But then there's also this stuff that's kind of interesting, like, you kind of would want to see this even before this, right? Like, because, like, Sauron, I guess, had his big boss, and then, like, somehow or another, that big boss gets killed. But they already set up this really cool stuff that you would like to know that happens even before this. It's like, man, sometimes, man, would y'all just start at the beginning? So I can follow
it. Well, and Tolkien, the Silmarillion, which was another Tolkien book that he kind of edited to be a Lord of the Rings prequel, does kind of lay out the prehistory of the Lord of the Rings.
Right.
Which includes some of those things, like Morgoth, Sauron's old boss.
Yeah.
A lot of the story is about him.
But, like, he seems pretty cool. I like to know about him. So why don't we just start with that and then, like,
well, he's effectively the Lord, the Middle Earth Lucifer, where he just challenged whether God was right about everything, and suddenly he became the asshole of all assholes. You know, and Sauron became his homie until he lost, and then Sauron kind of became the homie. That was the short version of the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
All right. I think we covered it pretty good. Anybody got any, like, last words before we get out of here?
Yeah, I wanted Adventures of Poppy and Nori.
Yeah. That'd be great.
I agree, Brandy. Hopefully season two. I'm sure season two will have Adventures of Poppy in the game.
You know what,
though? Gotta at least check in from time to time.
Well, yeah, I do think they need to show up with the Proudfoots, but you know what? I'm hoping they stick with what... Yeah, well... Whatever kind of foots they are, we know they're
going to eventually be hobbits. Let's just call
it. They're eventually going to be hobbits. So, but with that being said, I kind of hope they kind of stick with what they're doing, and it's just her and the, you know, stranger, whatever, you know, maybe Gandalf. We don't know 100% yet, but because of the fact, I do think it would be too close to what we got in the original story, right? Like with like three hobbits or whatever going around trying to do whatever. I think it'd be cool if it's a little different, right? It's just her and the stranger trying to make it through there. Little story. Maybe it'll be something kind of cool like they did in the Game of Thrones with, like, you know, the Hound. Now, obviously, it's not going to be as, like, hardcore as, like, the Hound and Arya, but, like, maybe we can get, like, at least almost closer to what, like, a buddy cop thing would be, you know, sort of, where you have, like, them two going on their adventures. I do think if they throw, like, a bunch of the hobbits, like, or more than her in there, it's going to feel like we're watching the same thing we kind of watched before with, like, Sam and Frodo and stuff like that.
And Rune is a place where they're headed in the next season or so is a place that's been referenced in the canon quite a bit, but they never actually go there. So it's a totally new landscape for us to explore as fans. Yeah. So, yeah, I can't wait. You know, if that's where they're going, I can't wait to see what they're going to do with Rune. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's late, guys. We're like 2 in the morning when we did this. Well, 2 in the morning Central Time. With that being said, we are out.
Just we keep talking.
With that being said, we are out of here. Thank you guys for watching. We get together and do this all the time. So if you want to do that, join the Discord. And the way you do that is by joining the Patreon. What is it? What is the level to be able to do these with us, Adelia?
$10, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for 10 and up, we get together, we watch shows together, we do these reviews, French and Brandy. That's why they're both here with us and doing this. So if you want to do that, Like, and if you can't do that, at least just like and subscribe to the channel. And thank you guys very much. And what is the, so we can go ahead and get it out there. Maybe some people could be prepared for that. What would be our next one? Are we going to do the Percy Jackson?
Percy Jackson, I think, is up next. Yeah.
Okay. So it seems like we're going to do Percy Jackson. So you guys get ready for that. We'll be doing watch alongs with that and then turning around and doing what we're doing now with these instant reactions after we get through watching the episodes. But until next time, thank you guys and peace.
I'll see you all in the fall for season 2.
Mm-hmm.